This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Hope you guys are still with us after that rough and tumble week we have had since we talked last. Joining me as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
You know, I still don't know what Satchel is.
You still haven't figured that out?
Not a clue.
It's an app.
I mean, I'm assuming it's a thing that you, an app that you can use to get podcasts.
That's right. And if,
I don't know.
If one person hears us on there, you know, we're there for them.
Oh.
All right, so let's talk about these games. We have four games to talk about, and let's face it, the Capitals have looked like trash in every single one of these games. Yes, they do have two wins, both coming from overtime, but good Lord, where is the offense? Where is the defense for this team? I don't know if they're taking an early Christmas break or whatever, but these guys took this last week off. They have looked terrible. There's no other way to put it. They're giving up 3-point leads.
Whoa. Oh, well, yeah, they did do that part.
They're losing miserably to the Islanders. This past week they don't have a win in regulation. I mean, come on now. This is not good. Let's not kid ourselves. This is not good.
No, and it's just like we saw last year where the team took they had the days off because of the snow. And then they struggle coming back from it, and then they have all that time off right after Thanksgiving, where they had, like, what, one or two games, and they had that time where they came back. And then we saw them lose in a horrible game I unfortunately paid to see against the Islanders, where they were arguably the better team on that night, but everything was trying to be a pretty shot, and everything was trying to be a highlight reel goal, and they weren't looking for the garbage goals. They weren't looking for the dirty ones where you just jump in front of the net and make things happen. Instead, they were looking for to do as much as they could to make something real nice and pretty and something good for the fans. And we're all just like, you know what? We just want you to score. Like, I don't care how it goes in the net. Just put it in the damn net. And so they ended up losing that 1-3-0. And then we saw a pretty lackadaisical performance against Tampa Bay on Saturday. They didn't play well there. We saw a better effort against Buffalo. And then the Boston game, we saw them dominate for the first period and a half. And they didn't play very well the second half of the second period. And the third period, they fell asleep for a bit. And so I'm kind of wondering how lucky they got in the Buffalo game and how lucky they got in the game against Boston. And you can't keep playing this way if you want to fight your way back into making something of this division. Cause right now, I mean, they were close to the top and they're struggling right now.
They're struggling big time. And let's talk about the fact that this is almost identical to the team that we had last year. Were Jason Chimera and Michael Lotta really that intricate to this team that's what really was the saving grace of last year?
As I make my comments, they're only 2 points out of first. So wait, does that say how good they are or how bad their division is right now? No, the Pacific is worse. But anyways, I mean, they're only 2 points out. They've played two less games than the Rangers, one less than the Penguins, but they played one more than Columbus, who is currently a point ahead of them. But they should be further ahead of where they are. I mean, this was a high-flying offensive team that is currently only a +7 in goal differential. They're struggling on the road, and away from home, they're 5-3-3. They're 10-4 at home, so that's good. But on the road, they're struggling. They're 0-2 in the shootout. What's going on there? And over their last 10, they're 6-3-1. That's not very good.
It's not good at all. And let's look at where
it's terrible.
Let's look at where
it's terrible, Brandon. It's terrible.
I know. You don't gotta tell me. I'm watching the games.
Terrible. You
know, let's look at this team where they were last year and where they are now. Not a lot has changed. So let me ask you the insane question here that I think I know the answer to.
Oh, don't go crazy, Brandon.
And
watch out.
I'm just trying to play.
Everybody, hold on.
I'm just going to be playing devil's advocate here because I really do like Barry Trotz and I like our team. But
don't do it.
Is this team a one-trick pony? Has the NHL and everyone else around the league figured out Barry Trotz's game plan? Was it a big shocker last year and now they know what to do and the team hasn't changed? what is going on here? Because last year this team was dominant up until mid-January. Now it looks like, you know, it may be an early golfing season for them.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I don't think it's an early golfing season per se. I mean, maybe this is that season where they, although I guess, yeah, at the moment they are. Oh, no, they're in the wild card spot right now, so they're okay. I mean, maybe this is a season where they start to peak later, and it's at the right time where you want to be peaking as you get, like the Penguins were last year, where you peak in the playoffs.
I like that reasoning.
I think that's a better idea. No, I think that they've been a little ahead of themselves. You've seen Ovechkin take too many penalties, and Trotz addressed that. And then we heard that Trotz was yelling at them the other day in between periods. And then was it the Boston game or the Buffalo game where Trotz went off on them? And then after the game against Boston yesterday, the players had a closed-door player-only meeting, pretty much, I guess, asking themselves, what the hell is going on? Why are we playing this poorly? And so you'd like to think that a meeting like that amongst the players is sort of to wake them up and shake them out of their funk. And you see this even like Braden Holtby recently has been like, excuse me, guys, this is not how we should be playing. So you have to hope that this team is going to be able to turn things around. It seems like they have the veterans, they have the camaraderie, they have the desire to do it. We just need to see them actually pull it off.
And I'm still waiting for them to do that. Now, I'm not trying to put this on one guy. I'm not, because this is
I'm just kidding.
This is a team effort, and not everyone is pulling, you know, the weight they should. But let me ask you about one specific player. Where is Yevgeny Kuznetsov? Because that dude has disappeared this season. You know, he said over the summer that he was still, like, heartbroken over losing to Pittsburgh last year, like we all were. But this season, being a contract year, he has not looked like the player he once was.
Well, if he wants to sort of not play quite as well, but if the team is still playing well, the team will play better, and that gets his next contract down a little bit so they can hang on TJ Oshie, I'm okay with that. I will take that plan. However, it seems like what I'm watching him, I think he's trying too hard. He's looking more for the highlight play as opposed to just going to the net. And it kind of reminds me, and this may anger some people, it kind of reminds me of Marcus Johansson a couple of years ago, where he wasn't really into the physical aspects of the game, and he wasn't interested in getting in front of the net or fighting in the corners. And I wonder, and I'm probably off on this, but I wonder how much of it has to do with that. You don't see him necessarily taking as much of the physical game. You don't see him necessarily fighting in front of the net. You don't see him looking for the garbage goals. He's looking for a highlight reel play. And now what we see from Marcus Johansson is a guy who is going in front of the net all the time, and he's making things happen, and he's hitting people and fighting. He's getting into scrums. He doesn't care. You're 5 feet taller than me. I'm going after you. You know, Johansson is playing great lately, and I think Kuznetsov needs a little bit of a wake-up call.
Kuznetsov, you know, gotta figure
it out. I don't
think
you bench him. I don't think you would bench him necessarily, but I think this is just maybe a learning curve for him right now. I mean, you players go through this where they struggle a little bit, and I don't think this is like, oh, he sucks, his career's over. I think he's just struggling a little bit right now. I mean, he's fifth in the team in points, so he's doing something right. He's got 12 points in 25 games. He's got 3 goals, 9 assists. I mean, you expect it to be much higher than that, but he's definitely struggling a little bit.
He's struggling big time, and I'm, you know, I can't believe that we're talking about how strong of a fourth line that we're having now, because it seems like the fourth line is overshadowing maybe lines 2 and 3, because Jay Beagle and Daniel Winnick this season have been doing, you know, spectacular with the role that they've been giving. Jay Beagle has been everywhere. He got a chance to be on the power play this week. You know, he moved up lines a couple weeks ago. Daniel Winnick, he's missed, I think he's only played 8 games this year, and how many goals does he have? Like 3 or 4 goals already on the season?
17 games, he's got 4 goals and 2 assists, does Daniel Winnick. You just like him because you like his wife.
His wife is very pretty, and he's got cool bulldogs, because we all know bulldogs rule. But Daniel Winnick is playing – he's not playing like a fourth-line guy. I mean, it's great if that's what your fourth line is doing, but these two have really – I want to say Jay Beagle and Daniel Winnick have been the big standouts of the Capitals this year so far.
I don't know if I would necessarily agree with that. I almost go with Mark – my guys for big standout. Beagle's played well. Winnick has played well. My big standout is Marcus Johansson. I mean, I think this guy is playing some of the best hockey we have seen from him since he's come over to the NHL. He has a much better all-around game. He's solid defensively. He's jumping up. He's physical. He's jumping in front of the net. I really like what I'm seeing from Marcus Johansson. He's got 19 points on the season. You know, he's keeping his penalty minutes down. He's only got 4 penalty minutes. He's got 3 power play goals. He's doing well. I like what I'm seeing from Johansson.
All right, so Danny Wittig's missed 8 games, didn't play 8 games, but got my words mixed up there. But all right, so let's talk about this. If Barry Trotz comes in and he, you know, juggles the lines like he always does,
he seems to enjoy doing that.
Is that key to this team this season, though? Because that doesn't seem to be working. So let me ask you, is the next step making a big trade and moving some guys out?
Well, if you do that, then you run the risk of having to wait even longer for that new person to gel as they come in. And here's my point there, or another point to that, I should say.
Because we're still waiting for Lars Eller to kind of gel in.
Yeah, I mean, you were kind of talking some ass about Eller earlier, but you may have a point in terms of his production. So he's got 3 points in 24 games. He's a -5 on the season with 20 penalty minutes. And his faceoff percentage is about 40. Well, I don't know why their website makes me scroll over to see that. 47.91. So I'd like for it to be higher, especially if he's on their third line and potentially going up another team's top line. Eller is – I don't really count the percentage of TJ Oshie. Winnick plays on the wing. So he's third behind Beagle and Backstrom. Beagle's at 59.54. Backstrom's at 53.14. I'm looking at these at the NHL.com, the Capitals stats. So Eller is doing better than Kuznetsov, who's at 42.74. But my concern right now is the lack of points production from Eller, and I'd like for him to be at a higher faceoff percentage right now. And I think you make a point, and if Eller turns out not to be the guy they thought they were getting when they signed him, then maybe they move him out in the offseason, bring in someone else, and look for a guy who can produce on that third line and what you're looking at. And maybe, Brandon, maybe that guy on that third line is Jay Beagle.
I mean, Jay Beagle has shown what he can do. He could definitely move up a line.
But now Beagle's doing this on the fourth line. Or is he? Because who the hell knows what the lines are going to be if they start to struggle in the game.
Jay Beagle he's the heart of this team.
Eller is due $3.5 million next season. If they can get out from under that contract, if he's not going to produce, it's not the worst. Who did they trade to get him?
They traded draft picks.
Oh, is it just draft picks? All right, that's not that bad.
I think so, yeah, to Montreal.
I'm looking it up.
I'm pretty sure it was just draft picks.
But I don't know where to find it.
I have not been impressed with Lars Eller this year. I was really hoping, you know, change of scenery would be good for him. Of course, it's going to take a little bit of time for you to get used to.
I think he's had the effort.
He's trying. He's definitely trying.
There's not an Alex Semin lack of effort. Yeah, but there is
not,
definitely.
He's not showing up kind of going like, I don't feel like playing tonight.
I mean, I'm sure Semin enjoyed playing. He just wasn't willing to do as much as necessary to win. But Eller, I also expected more from. He's only 27, so he's not like a guy you necessarily want to dump. But for $3.5 million a year, I'm expecting more than a sub, you know, 50% faceoff percentage and like 3 measly points.
Now,
wait, was it 3?
Do the Capitals have the ability right now? I mean, it was easier when they had Stan up in the press box the whole season, but. You know, we saw Barry Trotz sit Jason Chimera a couple years ago because he wasn't happy with what he was doing. He sat him for a game. Is there any player that you would sit for a game this season to kind of like say, hey, look up in the press box, watch the game, you know, do some homework, and you'll get there? Do you see anybody that needs that this season?
That's a tough call. I mean, Orlov. Maybe – I mean, Orlov's played well. I don't think he necessarily deserves the press box treatment. He had some bad mistakes in the loss to the Islanders. But I think Orlov overall is playing pretty well this season. I don't know. Not really. I mean, Williams is sort of snake bit. I mean, Eller maybe. But Eller's not a lack of effort. He's just not – it's not happening for him. I mean, I guess you can – well, Williams – I was going to say the same thing about Williams, but he's at least got 7 points. He's also a -5, though. So I would expect better from both of those guys, but I don't know if I would necessarily bench anybody, but if I'm McClellan.
We got to do something.
Not necessarily, but I'm not advocating for a trade necessarily, but I'm getting a little frustrated with Eller. But it also could – I mean, I guess you don't want to set a bad precedent amongst players that you'd acquire someone and then get rid of them that quickly.
Yeah.
They could do it after the season. I don't imagine they get rid of Eller during the season unless a deal – someone comes along requesting him, or the Capitals have an opportunity to bring in a guy who is potentially cheaper but going to produce more. I mean, maybe you go out in the offseason, you move him out, and that frees up some cap space to bring back Oshie and Alzner and all those guys, because $3.5 million can go a long way. And then you have Beagle in that spot, and you could sign someone to be your center on the fourth line at a cheaper rate. Beagle's getting a new contract after next season.
Alan, he's worth it. Every penny. That's what we got to do.
Settle down.
Ship out Oshie, give it to Beagle. I have so many people tweeting me right now going, shut up, you're stupid. Don't say that.
What is wrong with you, Brandon?
All right, so let's talk about what happened against Boston. Matt Niskanen got taken out of the game, got rammed into the boards. Obviously, it looks like a concussion. I haven't heard anything else besides a concussion, but he's not traveling to Buffalo for the next game. He's out for the next couple games, and we saw the defense really just fall apart without Matt Niskanen. What kind of impact does losing Matt for a couple games mean?
Well, let's hope it's not a couple of games. I hope it's just the game against Buffalo on Friday. I think that he has been a fantastic defensive player for the Capitals. I think he jumps into the rush when he needs to, and he plays very well on his own end. And I think it hurt them only having five defensemen and having to mix up the combinations a bit and who's the partnership, who's playing with who. And I expect that they're going to struggle a little bit. They brought up Aaron Ness in the event that someone else, you know, can't play tomorrow night. But my guess is we'll see Orpik, Carlson, Alzner, Orlov, Schmidt, and Chorney playing tomorrow night. And I think it just adds more responsibility for Alzner, Carlson, Orlov, and Orpik to step up and play some extra minutes and play more than they have so far, filling in for Niskanen. And I think we'll hopefully see something from Chorney.
I would be happy to see something from Chorney, but
I just hope Niskanen is not out long because they need that dude.
What did you think about the return of Carlsner? I was a little shocked that they got teamed up again.
They're back together.
Best friends forever.
They're getting the band back together. I think if it works, I'm all for it.
What did you think about their performance against Boston? Do you think that they look like their old selves?
I think it's tough to equate that just because they're sort of getting shifted around and the struggles are going to happen from being thrown into it. I think that they have a day of practice, and then we'll see how they do tomorrow. But okay. I feel like there's a familiarity there between them. They played together before, so I'm not quite as concerned. But what are the other pairings then if it's Carlson and Alzner? If Carlsner is back.
Let me look that up.
Are we looking at Orpik and Orlov and then Schmidt and Chorney? It's not a bad idea.
Let me look that up.
I'm a little surprised they wouldn't stick with Orpik and Orpik and Carlson together, Alzner and Orlov, and then Schmidt and Chorney.
Yeah, it's Orpik, Orlov, Schmidt, Chorney, Alzner, Carlson. So those are your combos right there.
But I think it's also important to make sure that you are putting pairings together of guys that are going to know what to expect from the other players. And so, for example, like if I'm Alzner and I'm playing with Orlov and I've never played with him before, I may not be comfortable jumping into the rush because I'm not sure exactly what Orlov is going to do. Or if I'm coming back to get the puck and there's an opposing player, you know, right behind me, do I know where Orlov is going to be?
Right.
And so there's little things like that they're going to have to be aware of when making these combinations.
All right, so we'll see what happens up against Buffalo this weekend. Let me ask you, what did you think of Jacob Virana in his first showing at the NHL level?
I was there. I got to witness it. I thought he did okay. He's all right. I mean, I like a lot of things that I've seen from him. I tried to call it last night that he was going to score, and I was wrong. But I probably cursed him. My bad. Sorry, Jacob. I apologize. I feel really bad about that. I like what I've seen from him, and I think Trotz does too because he's put him on the power play a couple of times. And he's put them out there in some good opportunities. And so I think they're going to see what they got with this kid before they, if they want to, send him back down.
Right. I like that they're giving him a little bit of a shot, letting him, you know, kind of get his feet wet a little bit.
Give it a shot.
he looked great.
Give him a chance.
In his first shift as a Capital, you got to see him. It looked like I thought he was going to score that first shift he was out there for. That looked really close. But alas, he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a couple opportunities, and he's haven't gone in for him yet. But I'm thinking he may be able to get one soon. Let's hope first goal against Buffalo. I'm just going to jinx him right now. Sorry again.
Way to go. All right, anything else we should cover in Caps world? Because this has been rough. This has been a rough week to be a Caps fan.
Well, I mean, yes and no. They went 2-1-1 with some both the wins are in overtime. So they've been good and bad. I think it seems like with these last couple of games that they're starting to wake up a little bit. They've done bad. Really, I mean, Sanford was sent
down. You saw them waking up against Boston? Because I saw them falling asleep.
Yeah, and they fell back asleep. Well, no, they started to wake up. They dominated a lot of that first period, and then they fell asleep. But, I mean, we had Sanford sent down. So you called that one earlier where he was going to be sent down. But he ended up getting his first professional goal, so congratulations to him. I do potentially see Sanford coming back up at some point because I think the kid played well. He just wasn't able to score. And they needed to free up some cap space to pick up Verana, who was playing very well with the Hershey Bears. We recalled Verana. Paul Carey was recalled at one point, but then he got sent down when Oshie returned. I think having him back is definitely going to help this team.
Mm-hmm. He looked great against Boston. He really did.
Oshie looked great. He looked woken up. He hadn't played in a while. He was fired up. He was ready to get out there and you know, would have been nice if he scored a goal. But he was there, ready to play, and I think he's definitely going to be a very good person to have back on this roster moving forward.
So let me ask you, before we get out of Caps world, they had a player-only meeting. Do you think that's a good thing that like the coaching staff wasn't involved with that? It was kind of like them addressing their own issues?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I don't think they were there to talk about the coaching staff. It's not like they're like, we don't want to play for them anymore.
So like they should
get this guy. I mean, because you've had that before, not the Capitals, but like with, you know, professional sports teams where they have these player only meetings and they're like, how do we get rid of this guy? What do we do? Do we go talk to management?
Ovi kind of did that with Dale Hunter a little bit.
I mean, I don't think Hunter was ever going to stick around long term, but I think that it's fine. As long as everyone's on the same page, there's no, like, you know, problems that came out of it. I don't think the players are going to be mad at each other. I think it was more like the veterans had a chance to sit, talk to some of these guys and be like, look, we need to get our heads out of our butts and we need to start playing real hockey and not sort of phoning it in and trying to make everything look so pretty. Sometimes, you know, the most exciting game is one where you score the garbage goals.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we really don't have a garbage goal guy like we did with Mike Knubel a couple years ago.
Well, we do. And we have, I mean, Johansson's sort of playing that way, and Williams is trying, and that Beagle's
Williams
getting
has
it there.
The worst luck. I mean, if.
Yeah, that dude's got no luck.
None at all.
Like, none whatsoever.
Poor guy. I feel bad for him. I mean, how many times is it going to hit the post? How many times is he going to, you know, have it go in at the last split second? I mean, it's. He can't do anything right. And I like the guy, I think he's a good player.
Yeah, he's just got no luck whatsoever.
All right, anything else we should cover in Caps world?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Down on the Farm. But before we talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We're talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
Well, the past week, Hershey went 2-0-1 with wins over Lehigh Valley and Syracuse. The Bears are currently tied for first in the Atlantic Division, though they have played one more game than the Baby Pens. The Bears will be back at it on Friday and Saturday on the road in Wilkes-Barre Scranton against those Baby Pens.
Boo.
With Sunday's boo indeed. With Sunday, I'm not going to go to the games because they always lose when I go. They got Sunday's 5 p.m. start at the Giants Center against Rochester. Now, down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1 with both of those wins and the loss to Greenville. Now, as we talked about last week, they play Greenville 5 times in a row. I don't understand ECHL. Like, I don't get it. But, you know, the Rays – wait, is that a thing? Do they go by the Rays? don't know. Whatever. I'm doing it. The Rays are currently fourth in the South Division with 21 points, 10 back of first place Florida. But we've seen them be that far back before, and then did they win the Kelly Cup that year?
I don't think so.
I remember they were down by like 75 points, and then they ended up winning the division. But the Rays, I'm going with it. I'm sticking with it. We'll be back at it on Friday against Greenville. Saturday also against Greenville because apparently not allowed to play anybody else. And then next Wednesday, they actually get to play a new team. They will take on Norfolk, who they will then play over the next three games. What the hell, ECHL schedule? You make no sense. But that's what's going on down on the farm.
Now let me ask you this hypothetically. I really liked when the ECHL team was in Reading because I thought it was easy if somebody got hurt, you know, they could switch between Hershey and Reading. It's not that long.
4 hours?
It's not that long of a drive between those two. I mean, it's maybe an hour and a half from Hershey to Reading. So I'm like, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm looking up how far it is between the North Charleston Coliseum and the Giant Center. That's not right. Well, they're not going to call – are you talking about between Reading and Hershey? Sorry.
Yeah, but, like, let me ask you, if there's now a Norfolk team in the ECHL, would it make more sense, like, when this contract –
Brandon, we may have listeners in South Carolina. What are you doing?
I'm just saying I love South Carolina and the Stingrays. I think they're a great team, but I'm just saying –
their mascot's a little creepy looking.
Well, yeah. But could you see, like, the Capitals going for that Norfolk affiliation because it is closer to – the AHL, or I mean, no
one. 9 hours and 29 minutes drive between the North Charleston Coliseum and the Giant Center.
Yeah, that's a bit of a hike.
It's 3 hours and 10 minute flight. Though I don't know where, or you can take a 10 hour 13 minute drive and go up through Charlotte and up 81. It's a very nice drive. I've done that a couple of times going down to Asheville.
How long does it take to walk?
Hold on. Okay, if you wanted to walk it. Holy crap. 204 hours. My God, man.
Wow.
What do you even – let's see. If you wanted to ride a bike, it would take you – we are getting off track here, guys. 58 hours. Why would they give me the longer route first? But either – yeah, no, I mean it would make sense for them to switch to having the Norfolk Admirals. I don't know what their stadium is called, so I'm just going to type in Norfolk. So from Norfolk Norfolk.
Are they still the Virginia. Admirals even though they're ECHL now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Pretty sure. It's a 30 hour. Oh, that's by bike. That doesn't make sense. It's just 5 hours, which is still not great, but better.
Yeah, that's I mean.
I say they put the team in Baltimore.
Yes, I like it. I'm for that.
Let's go. What's the arena called in Baltimore now? Royal Farms still?
Yeah, it's the embarrassing Royal Farms Arena.
Until they build a new one, which they've been talking about for, I think, back when you and I were in college at Stevenson.
About 10 years.
Sorry, Villa Julie. Oh, God, it's already almost been 10 years.
Both terrible.
Oh, 10 years for you.
Yeah.
It's an hour. It's just over an hour and a half between the Royal Farms Arena and the Giants Center.
Yeah, I know. I take that drive all the time. And I also took the drive almost from Baltimore to Reading as well a couple years ago. They're not that
– I say – ECHL hockey, bring it back to Baltimore. Hashtag ECHL to Baltimore.
Bring back the skipjacks. That's what I'm for.
Oh, that would be great. So I would go to a game.
I would get season tickets.
The
not
Baltimore
even lying.
Baltimore skipjacks at the crappy Royal Farms Arena.
Yeah.
I went and saw – anyways, yeah. So, yeah, that's somehow what's going on down on the farm. But I'm saying nothing against South Carolina. You're just so far away.
We're just talking logistics here. But South Carolina
– it's all about logistics.
They got
a great affiliation.
Yeah, great history with the Capitals. They've been the Capitals for so
nothing
long.
Nothing against you guys at all. But hashtag bring ECHL back to Baltimore.
Bring
that's
back
too
to
long of a hashtag. Hashtag bring – no, we got to put ECHL in there so people understand what we're talking about. Because that'll make sense. Because people are going to be like, what?
It's a very
old
barn.
I'm a hashtagger
barn.
Right now.
It's a very old barn.
I'm going on Twitter.
You do it. But let me tell
Royal
you.
Royal Farms Arena?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an old place. But Bruce Springsteen did love playing there in April. He talked about how great it was. The acoustics were great. He doesn't like playing the bigger places like Verizon Center. He liked the Royal Farm Arena. So the boss likes
it. I was there to see. What did I go see? Oh, Beauty and the Beast. Kate wanted to go. Calm down. The fiance says, I want to go see this. We go see it. I got her her tickets for her birthday.
Was it like Disney on Ice?
No. It was a musical.
At the arena?
Wait.
You definitely did not.
No, I am so wrong. Yeah. I am so wrong. That was at the Hippodrome. I'm stupid.
God. That didn't make any sense. I was so confused.
I was like, wait, I don't think I am right. I am so wrong. No, I was last there to see at Royal Farms.
The Baltimore Hockey Classic?
Yeah, that piece of crap.
That was really
bad. They played Nashville, and apparently the players could see, wow, how did I get Hippodrome and Royal Farms?
Yeah, we got plenty of theaters. The Hippodrome and the Lyric.
Hippodrome's cool.
It's a beautiful building. It really is.
That's cool.
Just hold on to your purse and wallet tight when you leave there at night. Not the greatest neighborhood. All right.
Okay, I'm doing hashtag bring the ECHL to Baltimore.
I like it. All right, but let's talk, before we leave down on the farm, we got to talk about the historic Hershey Bears teddy bear toss that happened this past weekend. If you didn't see the video, we posted it on our Facebook page. It was awesome. I think they had 20,000 teddy bears they collected. And somebody...
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Somebody brought one of those giant Costco, like, 6-foot bears, and they threw that.
I saw that! I was like, you're going to hurt somebody. What are you doing?
They should have. What I wanted to see with that one is I wish they would have crowd surfed that bear around the rink the whole way around.
That would have been so cool.
And then thrown it onto the ice.
Brandon, speaking of teddy bear toss.
Yes.
Friday the teddy bear toss is for South Carolina. Do you know what their Saturday event is?
What is that? Throw the teddy bears back.
No. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Night.
What?
That's brilliant.
Can we go now? Leave right now?
TMNT night.
No, not that. That's one. Great. We want the 90s version with the crappy bebop and rocksteady, and we want
Dude,
Vanilla Ice to be
there. That's what it looks like on their website. I'm looking at it right now.
We want Vanilla Ice there.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle night.
Go, Ninja, go.
Maybe not that. I am in.
All right.
I'm in.
All right, that's enough silliness from us tonight.
Not on this show.
I'm just amazed there hasn't been, a Walking Dead reference yet or whatever. We usually do that all the time, too.
It's going to be Walking Dead night.
It's coming. All right.
No, that was actually the Caps against the Islanders.
There we go. All right, guys, that is pretty much it for Down on the Farm. Now let's go around NHL. Here we go. We are going around the NHL. I'm sure you had your full of the NHL and all the crap they talk about after being forced to watch the NBC SN Sports, whatever it's called, rivalry night with their crappy, stupid.
I actually thought they weren't that bad. I mean, I wasn't paying attention half the time to what they were saying, but I actually didn't think it was that bad.
Terrible. Horrible. Hate them.
Terrible.
They're like, at the end of it, they're like, all right, the Caps won, but, I think the Bruins were better. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Didn't expect that one.
Thanks, everybody.
You jerks. All right, so what is going on around the NHL?
We only got a little bit of news this week. We got two things, but let's start out where the NHL came out and defended the team name and logo for the stupidly named Vegas Golden Knights. This is after the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office denied their trademark application. Brandon, got any thoughts on this one? I'm sure you do.
Oh my God, that is they got rejected. Why don't you check this stuff out before you announce it?
Well, so here's my guessing as to why they didn't do that. Because if you had done that, someone would have figured it out. And they would have been like, oh, that's the name they're going with. Unless they did do it and it just takes a while for them to actually approve it. But I would imagine, I believe teams in the past, when they're changing names or coming out with something, they patent they put in a trademark application for a whole bunch of names. Like I remember a couple of years ago, or maybe a number of years ago now, Dan Snyder bought or got a trademark application for the Bravehearts.
Yes, I remember this.
And so people were like, "Oh, he's gonna change the name. He's gonna change the name," and then nothing ever came of it. And so what they should have done is like trademarked a whole bunch of names. So that way they could then tell you or be able to say, we don't know which one's coming up. But this is pretty embarrassing. Like, my guess is it'll work out in the end, but yeah, this is pretty bad.
Well, like, I know in the WWE, they'll trademark, like, a bunch of names, and they might use one of them. It'll be, like, Stan McGee, Sean McGee, Steve McGee. They, like, trademark all these names, and then, you know, they eventually use, like, one of them. So, like, it's to throw some people off, I guess, that they just trademark all these things. But, man, I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking. This is a terrible way to start a franchise. I'm not, you know.
It is pretty embarrassing.
I don't hate the name. I mean, I think with today's day and age, you put out anything new, and of course, everyone's going to crap on it no matter what. But, God, do some friggin' research before this. This is embarrassing. Because now you're going to have the Vegas Golden Knights, and you know, like, opening night's going to come. They're just going to be, like, the Vegas Knights. Or, you know, they're gonna make the K not silent or something.
Honestly, if they were the Vegas Knights, it actually wouldn't be that bad.
I was hoping they'd be the Desert Knights. I think it's the Golden...
I don't know. That's kind of silly. I mean, it's hockey. Why are we talking about the desert?
Well, why are we having hockey in the desert?
Well, there's that as well. I mean, people live there.
I know. My old boss lives there.
So...
He retired and moved there.
There's that. Harris nice in places out there, I guess.
Have you never been to Vegas?
Nope.
Really? You're a big traveling guy.
Never been to Vegas.
You're a big traveling guy. I figured you'd be to Vegas at least once or twice.
No, I might be flying over it on my winter excursion, but I don't know. Going to Vegas. San Diego. Hey guys. Say hi to Danny McCoy. I don't know what the flight pattern is to know if that's nice. That was a Las Vegas reference, everybody. Now, if you watched the show Las Vegas from years ago, you got what I just did.
That show was great, and I hate the way they ended it.
It was phenomenal.
They ended it on a cliffhanger, and the writer's strike happened, and then it died.
Yeah, they got it canceled.
I wish they would have done like a 2-hour like series finale to wrap things up.
And I have 4 of the 5 seasons on DVD right now.
As do I. I didn't get the last one either.
It's... I'll get the last one eventually, but we've gotten off track. But I do have one other piece of news where voting for the 2017 All-Star Game opened back on December 1st. You can head to NHL.com/votes or the NHL app to cast your vote. You have until 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday, January 2nd to do so. That's the news for the past week in the NHL.
I'm voting for John Scott. That's who I'm voting for.
He was retired?
He's got a book coming out.
I saw that.
Ooh, if he's retired, I wonder if he's up for a podcast interview to talk about his book.
That would be pretty cool.
I wonder if he's free.
I guess he may not have a lot else going on, seeing as how he's, you know, like you said, retired.
All right, well, we'll look into that.
Caps. I might fly over Vegas.
All right. I'm very curious. All right, so that's is that it for the show? Are we done?
I'm trying to go eat dinner.
Elf is on.
Yeah, I actually am hungry. I'd like to go eat dinner soon.
All right, guys, that's pretty much it for the show this week. If you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. Let's start this hashtag, bring the ECHL back to Baltimore. Or just, I said bring just the ECHL to Baltimore. I don't think, did they ever actually have an ECHL team?
I think it was AHL.
Yeah, so I guess bring back wouldn't make sense. But I didn't put that. I just said bring the ECHL to Baltimore. Hashtag Baltimore Skipjacks, ECHL. Hashtag someone make it happen.
Yeah.
That's right. But yeah, that's at WTP Coach. And you can also find some of my old stuff at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, it's not a bobblehead per se, but did you get your Ovechkin Funko guy yet?
No, but somebody did, because they are on my wish list. It says, hey, guess what? Somebody may have bought you this. So Christmas is right around the corner.
Coming early for Brandon.
Probably actually right on time.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. You don't actually get the present until Christmas, buddy. So Christmas is coming right as it should be showing up. But yeah, that's somehow CapitalsOutsider.com. Brandon, Why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do here. Go over to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Like us over there and also follow us on Twitter at What the Puck Pod. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. We always have cool videos or photos or whatever we find floating around the internets, and we want to share with you guys. That is where we do it. So go check that out. Follow, like us, do all that good stuff. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Coach Dan only knows a few of those, but you may know them all. And
I know two.
You know two.
That's probably not. No, I know probably not two.
That's great. All right, guys. All we ask in return for doing this show for free is for you to please spread the word about the show. We don't want your money. We just want you guys to please spread the word. Let other people know about the show. I did my part today. Went to a liquor store after work, and a guy saw me in my Caps hat, and he was like, hey, man, I went to the Winter Classic a couple years ago, absolutely loved it, showed me some pictures. And I said, well, if you like the Caps and you like hockey, you should listen to my podcast, What the Puck. And he goes, I've heard of you guys. I'm going to download your show. I like that show. So I was like, all right, cool. Spreading the word. That's nice. What we got to do.
There you go.
But if you want to do it digitally, you can go to Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, Reddit, Snapchat, Pokemon Go, Bumble, whatever you're up to, wherever you're social. What?
The hell was that last one?
Bumble, it's a dating website. You swipe left, swipe. Right. If you're a dude, you swipe.
Not Tinder?
Well, it's a different thing. You swipe left, swipe right, but then it's the girl's job to write you back if she wants to contact you. Like, you can't be like, hey, let's meet up, and then message her right away.
Yeah.
You're lucky you're getting married, dude. This is what the world. This is the world I have to live in now. Isn't that great?
Not playing along.
So let's go over the schedule until we talk again. On December 9th, the Capitals are in Buffalo up against the Sabres. That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that locally on Comcast Sportsnet. On Sunday, on the 11th, the Capitals are playing against Vancouver in D.C. It is Star Wars night at Verizon Center. That game is at 5 o'clock. It's on Comcast Sportsnet. Good thing it's at 5 o'clock because the Walking Dead season finale is at 9 o'clock. Gave you plenty of time to go.
That's not true either.
What?
Not the season finale. It's the where finale.
Oh, the mid-season finale. I'm sorry.
They're coming back. It's not like it's over. It's like freaking Westworld where I have to wait like a year and a half.
They're coming back in
February. Man, that show is good.
I never watched it. And then on...
Well, we all make mistakes.
Well, yeah, you haven't watched Breaking Bad. Or Drive, you jerk.
That's not a show.
Great movie,
Brandon,
though.
Focus.
Great movie.
Focus.
On Tuesday, December 13th, the Capitals are up against the Islanders again. In New York this time, and that is at 7 o'clock Comcast Sportsnet. Oh, so this is interesting till we talk again. Two teams that gave them a little run for their money. Well, one that shellacked them, the Islanders, they get to meet again within, a two-week period.
Yeah, if I say they shellacked them.
3-0? That's a shellack.
The Caps just played like – no, because the Caps were the better team. They just played like garbage.
They got shellacked.
The Islanders took advantage of a couple of lucky plays where the Capitals had the better play throughout the night. They just played like S.
Let's just say, all right, so then if the Islanders won 3-0 against the Caps, let's just say the Capitals got Orlov'd because that's what happens when he doesn't play well. Boom.
Brandon making jokes.
Mike drop.
So laying it down.
And they're up against Buffalo, who they had to win in overtime against on Monday. So within the span of a week, they've seen those guys again. So...
Yeah.
Busy week, and Vancouver's in there, in the middle there. But that's it for What the Puck this week. Thank you all for listening to us. As always, everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.